Thank you, Pastor Ben. Good morning, church. I greet you in the name of the Lord. May you be strengthened by His grace. May you rest in His peace. It's so great for us to be here with you today. So thankful for the invitation from Pastor Ben to be with you here today. My wife, Brenda, is here with me. We do serve part-time as your worship arts directors for the state of Minnesota, which means we get to serve as pastor for all those who are serving as worship arts directors, like Joe and Katie. And then also we just help facilitate all those teams that are leading in our statewide events that happen throughout the year. So it's just great to be here. And then this role, this worship arts director role, is a great hand-in-glove fit to our ministry, which is called Worship is Life. So Brendan and I served as worship arts pastor for 30 years. We served here in Minnesota, coming right out of North Central University, our Bible college in Minneapolis. And then we served in Wisconsin for a few years. And then we served in New York for almost 14 years. And then moved back here just about 5 years ago to have this as our home base, our launching pad for this ministry that we now call Worship is Life. And so those two things together is what brings us here this morning. And again, so thankful for the opportunity to be here. So greetings and encouragement to you from the district office. We just love Pastor Ben and Mary's story and God's call in their life, their call to this congregation, their call to this community, how they're serving you, how they're serving Lonsdale and the surrounding area. And this is what life is all about, growing God's kingdom. And that is where we're going with this Worship is Life message. So our teaching, our message is based on two foundational questions. And those questions are this: what is the connection between a worship service and a life of worship? And why does it matter? So I'm here to do two things: encourage you in your relationship with God, challenge you in your role in growing God's kingdom. And to do that, we are going to be using the language of worship. So here is our mission statement. It is growing God's kingdom through connecting worship to life. Growing God's kingdom through connecting worship to life. So I spent most of my ministry life crafting individual worship experiences, mostly unaware of the mystery, the secret behind this connection that there is between a worship service and a life of worship, and the purpose that that is all wrapped up in. And so that's what we're going to be unpacking here today. And our vision is to take the Worship is Life message to the body of Christ on every continent. So we've been traveling all over America with this message, and we've seen opportunities in the last couple years where doors have been and are opening up to bring the message to other parts of the world. And so I've got just a few pictures of where I've been in the last couple years. This was a little over a year ago in Arusha, Tanzania, Africa, where I was speaking for 2 days at a conference for over 500 pastors and leaders from all over that area. This was an Assemblies of God gathering here. And then just less than 6 months ago, I was on the other side of Tanzania in Kigoma, and this is me pictured with the missionary there and all the students. So I taught in one of his 20 Bible colleges that he started there. I was there for a whole week teaching their whole course on the theology of Christian worship, and then also ministered in many Assemblies of God settings over those 10 days. So that was a great, great time. And then just Monday, I got back from a 10-day trip to Europe where I was in Romania and Belgium. So this is a shot on my first day there. This is 60 students in training over in Romania. They call it the Pentecostal Union Church. And so this was actually in the district headquarters in an upper room where we were, these men and women are, they gather there every Saturday to get their first level of training in for ministry. So that was a wonderful opportunity. This is where I spoke on Sunday morning, one of the Pentecostal Union congregations there. And then on that Tuesday evening, this was another one of our churches there where I spoke in the youth service. 200 young people gathered there, girls on the left, guys on the right, if you didn't notice that. Got some other fun pictures of that, but not going to take time to show you that here this morning. And then, oh, this is really cool. So on my layover going from Romania back to Belgium, I had a 7-hour layover in Bucharest. And so I ended up getting picked up by the men's director of the Teen Challenge Center in Bucharest. And him and his wife picked me up. That's her there interpreting as I spoke in their chapel. And then we all had lunch together and then took me on a tour of the facility, which is just beautiful. They also have a women's center right in downtown Bucharest. This is more on the outskirts of the city, 4 million people. And they're just doing a tremendous work there, getting ready to open up other centers around Romania. Then they took me on a driving tour of Bucharest, just an amazing, amazing city. And then I was in Brussels, Belgium for 4 days. And this is speaking in the chapel, which was just a great opportunity because there's students from all over the world gathering there to train in ministry. So just amazing to see what God has spoken to us coming to fruition. And I'm going to be referencing in a little bit our book, Worship is Life, Finding Our Identity in the Story of Worship. But that's been translated into Spanish, and we were just, Brenda, while I was in Europe, Brenda was with Mike Shields in the Twin Cities at a Hispanic Leaders event. And then our book is being worked on right now to get translated into Swahili for the African nations. And then as a result of this just recent trip, talking about getting it translated into Romanian. And so just so cool to see God's faithfulness that when he speaks and we respond, then he responds. So here we are with this message of Worship is Life. And throughout the morning, I'm going to have you helping me unpack this message. So let's start with this. Let me hear from a couple of you. How would you describe this phrase, worship is life? When you hear the phrase, worship is life, how would you explain what that would mean to you or what that means to you? Let me hear from one or two of you. Worship is life. What does that mean to you? Yes. Something we do on a daily basis. So what would be an example of that? Okay. Glorifying God in our actions with others around us. Good. Yeah, we're going to make some connections to that. Good. Someone else. Having worship music on in the car. Okay, good. Another way of engaging with God throughout your normal day. Is there one more? Worship is life. A state of being. Wow. You want to give an example of that? Want to give an example of that? So I'm picking on her a little bit, but it's easy to talk about like what it seems to be, right? And then when you start to articulate it, it gets more challenging. It gets more challenging. So we're going to unpack this a little bit and give us some handles, some real specific handles on what we're saying here. So one of the ways I say it is this. The relational dynamic that happens between us and God when we gather here to worship together is the same relational dynamic in which God invites us to live. And when we engage in this relational dynamic, because relationship is a two-way street, when we engage with God in this relational dynamic, then we maximize our potential for being in a place of growing his kingdom because we're responding to what he is showing us. So let me read a few scripture verses that I include in our book here. This is coming from two of the prophets and then the words of Jesus. First, this is Isaiah chapter 1, some of verses 13 through 16. And Isaiah is speaking for God. And he says some things like this. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. They've become a burden to me. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Aren't you glad you came for that word of encouragement today? Here's the prophet Amos in chapter 5 speaking for God. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Away with the noise of your songs. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And then the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 15, and he's quoting Isaiah when he says these words, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. In other words, their worship is empty. Their teachings are merely human rules. So, I know the answer is probably obvious, but let me hear from you. What are the prophets and Jesus saying in these passages? How would you articulate what they're saying to us in these passages? Let me hear from a couple. Okay. Okay. All right, good. Someone else? Anyone want to say the same thing in a little different way? Going once? Going twice? Yeah. Exactly. That's what it is. So what the prophets and Jesus are saying is that there is so often a disconnect between our worship service and our life of worship. There is so often a disconnect between relationship with God and our relationship to life. This is the ongoing battle. That's why chapter 2 in the book is called The Battle for Our Worship, all right? And that's why chapter 3 in the book is called Identity and Security, Finding Our Identity, because that's what lies at the heart of this battle, where we're looking for our identity and where we're placing our security. But this disconnect between a worship service and a life of worship, and here is another way that I say it. I've said it in a little poem that I've written just for you. Unless what happens when we gather translates into what happens when we scatter, then what happens when we gather doesn't matter. Unless happens what we gather translates into what happens when we scatter, then what happens when we gather doesn't matter. So now I'm going to ask you to do this. I want you to think of one word. If you had to describe worship with one word, I want you to think of what your word would be. Randy, if you could advance that just one slide. There we go, right there. Thank you. So worship equals, boom, one word. What would your one word be? One word. Worship equals love. Good. Someone else. Worship equals joy. Okay. Worship equals faith, connection. Good. What's that? Communication. Good. Excellent. So all these words are awesome words, and they all describe a word that was said earlier in a description. And I'm going to give you my one word in a second here. But first, let me share this little interesting fact that the word worship in our scriptures is found nearly 200 times. And when you look, or at least when I study those passages where we find our word worship, I see a common theme over and over again. And when I look at that theme, if I were to choose one word to describe that theme, the word for me would be relationship. So she mentioned it earlier. Joe said it in the first service, so yay for Joe. And all of your words that you gave all come under this idea of relationship, love, connection, communication. So all the things that happen in the context of relationship, because God always looks through the lens a relationship. Everything God does is in the context of relationship. Relationship with Him and relationship with others. Because relationship with Him translates into relationship with others. And God calls this worship. It's all about relationship. And I cannot overstate the impact that this perspective, that this little phrase right here, worship equals relationship, has had in the way I lead, is daily having, in the way I live. This idea of God's description of worship is relationship. Love God, love people. Love the Lord your God with all your being. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's nothing new under the sun. It's been the same from the beginning. It will be the same always. Worship equals relationship. God calls relationship with Him, translating into relationship with others. He calls this worship. So we're going to look at another little aspect about God that we don't talk about a whole lot. And I'm going to have you help me with this. And that is that God works in patterns. He always works in patterns. You see it all around you in creation. You see it all around you in His guidelines for living. For example, first we have day, and then we have what? Night. Everyone knows it. The ocean tide goes in, and the ocean tide goes where? Out. Everyone knows it. What goes up must come down. Every action has an equal reaction. You reap what you sow. If you forgive, you're going to be. If you judge, you're going to be. If you are merciful, you're going to be shown. Okay? So all these patterns that God works in. And we see that evidenced and confirmed in our lives because what do? We work in patterns, right? Why do we work in patterns? Because we're made in God's image, and that's what God does. He works in patterns. So our day has a pattern, and our week has a pattern, and our month has a pattern, and our year has a pattern. Our family has patterns. We have patterns we do at work. We have patterns when we gather here and come together for service. Look around at our clothes. Patterns, patterns everywhere. Do I have a pattern? Yeah, I got a pattern right here. So patterns everywhere by us because this is what God does. God works in patterns. So we are going to look at the pattern in which God does relationship. God does relationship with us in a pattern, and we're going to call this pattern revelation and response. Everybody say that. Revelation and response. Say it again. Revelation and response. Here's the pattern. God reveals Himself to us and invites us to respond to Him. And then God responds to us. God reveals Himself to us, invites us to respond to Him, and then God responds to us. Now, we so many times experience this pattern when we come together and begin to sing songs about who He is and what He's done. And this is a huge reason why our singing time all around the world in our context that we're familiar with has become labeled with the word worship. It's because we are experiencing this pattern. So the 200 times that the word worship is found in the scriptures, you can count on one hand the number of times it's in the context of music and singing. Because all those times we find it, it's painting the bigger picture of relationship. However, on the other side, over 120 times, the scriptures tell us to sing to God. Sing to God. Sing to God. Sing to God. Why? Well, it's because that God knows the way He created us, the way He created music to impact us. He knows that singing about Him, singing about who He is, singing about what He's done, singing about what He's calling us to do, us engaging through our singing, and then our being begins to engage. Singing songs of praise and worship is probably the most effective way to get into the pattern of relationship with God. So many times, It's the same for all of us. Our lives ebb and flow with different levels of connecting with God, and so many times we're in different places, and when we come in together and we begin to enter in with engaging God through these lyrics and with that accompanying music, it brings us into this relational pattern. But the revelation, here we go, the revelation is this is the relational pattern in which God invites us to live our lives. And that's why we get in this pattern when we come in here. Every part of our service is flowing in this pattern. Right now, revelation and response is happening as I'm preaching and teaching. The offering is this pattern of revelation and response as we're giving in response to who He is. When we take communion, it's that same pattern. When we sing these songs, it's the same pattern. When we fellowship with one another, we're in this same relational pattern of revelation and response. So this is God's pattern for revelation and response. And what is so just mind-boggling is that God made it so simple for us to recognize, because He created us and then put us in an environment where we are always living out this pattern. There is never a moment when we are not living out this pattern of revelation and response. For example, right now, every one of us in this room is breathing without even thinking about it. Unless you're stuffed up, then you're thinking about it. But if you're not stuffed up, you're just sitting there breathing, not even thinking about it. Why? Because it's as natural as breathing. Because our bodies are responding to this environment that God put us in, and we are just breathing without even thinking about it. And right now, we're doing revelation and response. I'm talking, you're listening, you're seeing words on the screen, and you're processing, you're responding, you're meditating, you are responding to what's being revealed to you. If I walk down this aisle, my body is responding to what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. If I am working, I'm responding to what's being revealed to me. If I'm eating, I'm responding to what's being revealed to me. If I'm playing a sport, I'm responding every moment to what's being revealed. I mean, there's never a moment where you are not, when you're conversing with someone, you are doing revelation response. When you're listening to music, you are responding to what you are taking in. When you're watching television, it's just, there's never a moment where you're not. So God created us and put us in an environment where we are always doing the pattern in which He invites us to do relationship with Him, because the intention is that relationship with Him is to be as natural as breathing. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to be as natural as breathing, as the air we breathe. It's just beautiful, beautifully beautiful. So now let me give you my favorite earthly analogy. And it is the analogy of driving. So for the first time in over three decades, I am working a part-time job out in the community. And my job is I'm teaching teenagers how to drive. 2 hours at a time, one-on-one. And it's really been an awesome job for many reasons. Other than the 30 or 40 times I've nearly died, it's been a really, really great job. And as I was listening to myself teach these students how to drive, all of a sudden it just hit me. I had this revelation that driving is like the perfect earthly analogy of revelation and response, because everyone can relate to it, and there's so many connections. So when you are driving, if you're going to maximize your potential as a legal and safe driver, you are constantly in the place of responding to what's being revealed to you second by second, moment by moment. There isn't a moment that passes that you aren't responding as you are looking and listening and then responding. And if you're maximizing your potential as a legal and safe driver, You're focused on two things. You're focused on your relationship with the law, the authority, the rules of driving, and you're focused on your relationship with everyone else around you. What is everybody else around me doing right now? And this is exactly who God calls us to focus on, our relationship with Him, our authority, and our relationship with everybody else around us. And I fail to maximize my potential as a legal and safe driver when I get what? Who said it? Distracted. When I get distracted is when I fail to be a legal and safe driver. And when I get distracted, the focus has shifted to who? Say it. Yourself. The focus shifts to your, and this is exactly what happens to us in life. Focus shifts from relationship to God and others to ourself. And that's when everything breaks down and gets ugly and gets messy. And this is the battle that we're in, taking the focus off of self and keeping focus on God, looking for God and listening for God. And that always translates into how we relate to one another. This is one of the main ways that this whole worship equals relationship has impacted me is when I look at God's commands. When I look at all of God's commands from the cover to cover, it's so easy to be burdened by them as a list of do's and don'ts. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. But when you look through this lens that we're talking about, all of a sudden you look at His commands, it's like all of God's commands are in the context of relationship. How to have healthy relationship with Him, which translates into healthy relationship with others. Love God, love people. What are the two greatest commands? What are the commands that everything boils down to? Love God and love people, all in the context of relationship. So this amazing pattern that we see, and this is this relational pattern in which God invites us to live. And I want to give you a little phrase that I believe the Lord gave to me to help me put another handle on growing each day in this relational pattern. And the phrase is this: living in awe of God. Let's all say that together. Living in awe of God. So we have a phrase there that talks about staying in that place of relationship with God. And the word awe is a very worshipful word in our English language. And so I have an acrostic out of the word awe, and it is A, acknowledge, W, welcome, E, engage. So this two-way street of relationship where our role is to engage in the relationship by acknowledging God and welcoming God. Where? Into every conversation, into every encounter, into every experience, into every task that I need to do. What does it look like for you to invite God into every conversation? What does it look like for you to invite God into every encounter? What does it look like for you to invite God into every task that you're doing? What does it look like for you to invite God into every experience? What does it look like to grow in staying engaged with God? When you think about how you relate to God, do you think more along the lines of God is out there? Or do you relate more along the lines of, wait, no, God is right here. I am His son. I am His daughter. I am the dwelling place of the Spirit, the breath, the life, the presence of God. His intention is that relationship with Him is as natural as breathing, because this is what changed on the day of Pentecost. He changed how he does relationship with us. Instead of him pouring out his spirit, his breath, his life on certain individuals at certain points of history for certain periods of time, now, because of the complete work of God in the flesh, Christ, Messiah, Jesus, now on the day of Pentecost, the way he does relationship with people changed because of the work of Christ, because of the veil being torn in two, because of restored, redeemed relationship. Now every person who responds favorably to who God is, comes into restored relationship with God, becomes the dwelling place of the Spirit, the breath, the life, the presence of God. And as we acknowledge him, as we welcome him, as we engage with him, and as we grow in that, we put ourselves in a place where we are maximizing our potential to grow his kingdom, because relationship with God always translates into relationship with others. I'm going to ask Joe to come and just begin to play a little bit. We're just going to continue to respond, and I'm going to invite you to respond in a couple different ways here. You know, when I first started to see this, it immediately impacted the way I was leading corporate worship services, leading out of this pattern. But then after some time went on and I was just doing more engaging and listening and meditating, I began to ask myself, how is this impacting my life? And as I looked at my life, I began to realize how much time I spent my life disengaged from God. Not running from God, not intentionally ignoring God, but just recognizing how often I was disengaged from God. And I'm like, God, I lead like you are everything, and I live like you are only mostly everything. What does it look like, Lord, for me to grow in staying engaged with you so that I am always touching your world, so that I am always growing your kingdom? How can I rest in that instead of that becoming a burden? How can I be your light instead of feeling weighed down? What does that look like for my relationship with you to be as natural as breathing? Have any of you ever been driving and all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, I don't remember driving for the last 5 minutes. How did I get here? Because you're so like distracted in your thoughts, right? But driving for you has become as natural as breathing. And this is where God invites us to live. Even when we may get distracted, we're always coming back to that place of living out of focus on him, which translates into focus on others. So I'm going to ask you just to move into a different type of response right now and just to focus now on God's voice. And I love how Pastor Ben did that in the flow today of just having you listen. That is him as a leader forming you to listen for God. And so now I'm asking you to do that same thing right now. Listen to what God is saying. What does it look like for you to grow in staying engaged with him, in acknowledging him and welcoming him into every moment of your life? What does that look like for you? Just ask him and listen. Help us, O God. Help us, O God. Help us, O God. Help us, O God. Help us, O God, to engage by looking for you, to engage by listening for you, welcoming you into every life experience, acknowledging you in every encounter, in conversation, with family, with congregation, with community. Help us, O God. Nothing new under the sun, but living each moment afresh in you and with you. We are your dwelling place. We are your temple. We are your sanctuary. This living in awe, we've turned it into a graphic and actually have a magnet made out of it. And we give these away for free in exchange for your email address for our prayer support list so we can communicate with you and so you can be supporting us through standing in agreement with us before the Lord. So give us your email at the back table and see that, receive that magnet. And let's all stand together. The expression of praise of lifting hands has several different purposes. But one of those primary purposes is surrender, which is worship, bowing to life, reverence, surrendering. And when we do these expressions, different expressions of praise, it's just a way of engaging and helping us get to a place of living our life like that. So lifting hands is just a way of saying, God, I'm surrendering to you my life. I'm lifting hands as an expression of showing how my life is surrendered. My life is laid down. My life is bowed down. So let's all just lift our hands and surrender. And Joe is going to lead us by singing,
I'll stand with arms high.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Oh, God, you're so good. We thank you. Lord, we hear you. We want to obey you. We want to respond, God, to your words. And that we take, God, what's been spoken to us today and begin to live that out as you reveal yourself to us daily, God, that we would respond to you with a life of worship, God, and in all of our dealings with people and all of our dealings with you. Holy Spirit, that you would just go with this week. Guide us. Lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, folks, I'm here if you need to talk. Otherwise, God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed.